And for some fun business news, let's talk about the robots that were popular this holiday season on the big screen.
Oh, wait! Over here!
Right now, that kind of robot is only found in Star Wars. Too bad. NPR's Laura Seidel is at the big consumer electronics show in Las Vegas, the CES, where she went to see how close we are to a real-life C-3PO.
Meet Pepper. She's got humanoid features like eyes, arms, a mouth, and, well, I'll let Pepper speak for herself.
I'm just about 4 feet tall and a little under 62 pounds. Uh-huh. Speaking of height, according to my calculations, I am 0.6 times the height of Michael Jordan.
Pepper rolls around on wheels and has sensors so she doesn't hit anything.
Just think what a robot like me could do for you.
Well, what can a robot like Pepper do for me?
I can dance. Okay. Well, let's go.
But the truth is, it's not that clear what Pepper can really do for me. As far as I can tell, she doesn't even twerk.
Today, if you want to have Pepper, it's because it's fun.
This is Rudolfo Jalan, the chief scientific officer at Aldebaran, the French company that makes Pepper. Aldebaran has been in robotics for over a decade. A lot of its robots are used by researchers and educators. And more recently, shops in Europe and Asia have used them to greet customers.
And today we think that the robot is ready for this kind of application, welcoming people, having a simple dialogue, giving some information.
Jalan says Pepper has helped draw customers into shops, but she'll cost you. This year, she'll be available in the U.S. for $20,000. Yet the amount of space given to personal robots at CES is growing every year. Most are like Pepper, cute but a little unsatisfying. Take Bako. She looks humanoid but is only about half a foot tall.
I hope Mom and Dad stay in touch with the children and hear their voices while busy at work.
Bako helps them stay in touch because parents and children can record messages on their smartphone and send them to Bako, who plays them back. She also can alert parents when the door of a child's room opens by sending a signal. The other robots on the floor could also do a few tasks. One washed windows, another one folded clothes, though not very well, and there was, of course, a vacuum cleaner robot. Mariana Senko, an analyst with Lux Research, says what's happening is that engineers are solving one problem at a time at many different companies.
The challenge is that as people solve these, they immediately want to create a market out of them. So we get these little stepwise solutions in the robotic space where each little robot completes a little task.
Senko says the big problem is battery life.
They're constantly computing what's going on in their space, who am I looking at, what am I trying to interact with, and so that's actually really energy intensive.
We are slowly getting closer to making it all work, says Senko, but buying a robot at this point is more like buying one of the early Apple computers. It's great for people who want to get in early. For the time being, the best personal robots are going to remain in a galaxy far, far away. Laura Seidel, NPR News, Las Vegas.